icebreaker, and so I have a quiz for you. Does anybody know the car that the disciples drove? They were, and the accent says they were all in one accord. Yes, thank you. A plus, TJ. Well done. Yeah. Oh, children's church. What's that? I don't know. What? Oh, man.
Just keep on going.
Yeah, we'll just punch right through here. All right. Well, I'm happy that you're all here. Apparently you didn't hear last week that Pastor Nace wasn't going to be here, and that's the perfect Sunday to miss because the pastor doesn't know you skipped church, but it's all right. I'm glad you're here. What's that? Oh, yeah, he's here. I know. It wasn't a trap. We weren't trying to set a trap. I know it might look like that, and I know you're glad you're like, oh, he's here checking up, and I'm glad I'm here. It wasn't like that. Yeah. Well, so I got the clicker up here. I'm going to try some technology. This should be real interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's on. We're good. Okay. So I'm trying to expand my horizons, and if it gets a little awkward, just grin and bear it, you know, just like act like it's not getting weird, and we'll get through this. I didn't get my sermon title published in the announcement, but I wanted to title this "Obedient as a Hound," like a hound dog, and actually, this is going to be part one. As I started out, I thought I was just going to make it one, but it turns out it's part one of two, or maybe even three. I don't know yet. So, with that being said, let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." All right. There's quite a lot to digest in these first few verses, but I just want to pull out a phrase that we're going to kind of build around, and that's as obedient children. It says, as obedient children. So it implies that God's desire is for us to be obedient, and obedience means compliance with an order. An order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. And that's not the most popular thing, you know, like submission to authority is not really the cool thing in our society these days. And obeying orders or requests or laws, you know, like it's not as admired as it once was. Have you ever heard the term or seen the letters YOLO, YOLO? Have you seen that? It means you only live once. Have you ever had someone say, "Do what makes you happy," or "It's your life, pursue your dreams"? Have you heard any of those things? Maybe we've even said them. We all have those thoughts, and sometimes they get dispensed as advice. And they can feel really good to say that, and like on the surface, it's like, yeah, absolutely. But it's not how God designed us to operate in this world as believers. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, and this is Jesus talking, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. As Christians, we're tasked with the challenge of denying our own desires in order to be able to discern and execute the will of God. And that's really, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for me every single day to wake up and Levi has all these things that Levi thinks pretty awesome. And, you know, well, frankly, sometimes I just skip reading the Bible because it would be a giant inconvenience to know what God would want me to do that day because I have lots of plans. And so it is a challenge to learn to deny yourself in order to be a good servant of God. And I think the word servant sometimes gets a bad rap. You know, like, so I'm a deputy, and I feel like I'm a servant of Lake County. I like to serve the people of Lake County. I would do things that are detrimental to my health for the benefit of other people. And it doesn't bother me to be a servant. I like it. And so that concept agrees with me when we talk about being a servant of God. It doesn't bother me. I like the concept. You know, I see the benefits in it. I feel the reward. And so it appeals to me. And so being a servant isn't, don't think of it as a negative connotation. Think of it as a positive, you know, because we have free will in it. You know, I have the choice to be a deputy. I choose to be a deputy. I enjoy that role. So if you found any rest of this interesting at all, you're probably still wondering what in the world it has to do with hound dogs. And I'm going to get to that. I'll just tell you, I've loved the thought of hunting with hounds since I was a little boy. You know, my parents let me read Where the Red Fern Grows, you know, Old Yeller, all those. And it's just like, this is awesome, you know. And so, throughout the years, I've had dogs here and there. But it wasn't until recently, you know, I talked about that Polaris Ranger that I got and all that. So, when that went down the road, my next great idea is that the boys and Hadassah are old enough now that they're pretty mobile. And so I let them watch Where the Red Fern Grows 1 and 2. And then I sicked them on their mom to let us get a hound. Yeah, so is this on? What do I got to do?
Push forward.
Push forward? All right. Yeah. Okay. So this is a picture of Rusty and Hadassah, and he joined the family January 26th of 2020. And he was 6 years old, and he's a leopard hound.
6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, 6 weeks. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. Time runs together. 6 weeks old. And so here's Rusty again, and you can't really tell, but that's a stuffed cat. So the whole idea is that we want him to chase lions and bobcats. And so from a young age, you want him to understand that he's a cat dog, like he chases cats. That's what he does. And so we thought that would be a good way. And there he is again, and just as cute as can be. He just stole our hearts away, you know. He just was very cute and lovable and whatever. And then I thought I'd throw this picture in here to show you that Jen is complicit in all, and she loves hounds regardless of what she might tell you. She might tell you the horror stories, but she loves that little guy, and don't let her tell you otherwise. Yeah. So God feels the same way about you. From the moment he placed you in your mother's womb, he loved you and cherished you. And he was excited about the special relationship that he could have with you. And he was all those things before you had even done one thing. Like Rusty there, he did at this point in time, other than poop on the carpet a couple times, he hadn't done a darn thing for us. Nothing. But we love him. And God loves you infinitely more. From the moment you were created, he loved you, and he was super, super excited about that relationship. Let's go to Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Everything I say, I like to back up with scripture. I think it's important. I don't want to leave you guys wondering, oh, huh, I wonder if that's really true or whatever. And the Bible is so complete, obviously. But we sometimes make statements as Christians, and we don't solidify it through the Word of God when we can. You know, there is good reasons that we believe and say what we do as Christians. And it's just a matter of discovering it in the Word of God so that you can see that truth, and then you can see that truth lived out. So God was invested in your entire life, and he's invested in the choices that you make. And he's so excited about the possibilities. I want to emphasize that. This relationship isn't a stagnant relationship. This isn't a relationship where God sits up there and you sit down here and every once in a while you two bump into each other. He is interested in every single thing. Sorry. I don't know where that came from. My bad. Apparently 11:30 some other day was important for me to remember. And so I don't want you to think that the choices you make each day aren't important. They are. Every choice you make is either pushing you towards God and strengthening that relationship, or it's not. And I know we could get down to some decisions that are pretty inconsequential, but I'm saying the main decisions in your life do this. Let's see here. All right. I don't know. Can you get some noise?
Hi, Dasa. Go get him.
Well, he went a little wrong way. There he goes. Can I stop the video, Dad?
All right. So I don't know if you heard what he said right at the end. He says, "Well, he went the wrong way." Yeah. And so, you know, just as a side note, you know, like, he's pretty young. Rusty's pretty young in that video. And when he made mistakes, it didn't bother us at all. You know, he's learning, you know. And we're just excited to see that he had an interest in doing what he was made to do. And so... We started out, you know, laying those trails for him to follow, and we wanted to bring out his natural desires. You know, he was made to do that. We didn't have to teach him how to chase things by following those. It was in him. We just had to guide him and bring it out and perfect it. And there's lots of things you do, you know, like, or you get a hot dog and you break it up into little pieces and you throw it out in the grass and you'd be like, "Rusty, go get it. Go get it, Rusty, go get it." And he'd be sniffing around and he'd be like, "Oh, dude, there's hot dogs here." And so throughout his life, every time you say, "Go get it," man, his nose is in the ground because he's like, "Oh, dude, I'm going to get a hot dog. This is going to be awesome." You know, and so you encourage and strengthen these things in him so that he understands his role. And it's important to encourage any effort, no matter how pathetic it is. If it's an effort in what he's supposed to be doing, you encourage it. And so we would do that with him, and it became apparent really quick as he was starting to get older that hounds aren't born knowing what they're supposed to chase. They're just born knowing that it's fun to chase things. And, you know, deer and sheep and chickens and moose and maybe a lion or a bobcat. It's all fun to chase. It's all equally fun. Just chasing's fun. And so as they get older, you realize that you really got your hands full. And so you have to address that issue. And as I have grown older as a Christian, I have seen God put encouraging things in my path as I have gone. You know, like, God encourages us to seek certain things and to avoid certain things. And I have seen how God, in his perfect way, has put encouragement in my life as I have sought out what is pleasing and good to him. And I have also seen where consequences followed when I have gone off on my own path. And so you see Rusty here. He's a little bit older. He started to assert his independence, and then at that point in time, you have to decide, did he know better and he's just doing it anyway, or is he just growing up and he didn't know any better, and so you have to give him some grace? And you can see, like, now he's wearing two collars, and one's a GPS collar, and the other one's just his identifying collar. So at this point in time, there's two things going on. I have a desire for his time and talents, and Rusty has a desire for his time and talents. And so they're going to start competing with each other. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Romans chapter 7, 7 through 12. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that every commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. So, this is Paul talking about the difficulty in doing what God wants us to do. And he's making the point that God's law made us aware of what's right and wrong. And so when we look at Rusty, he just knows that chasing things fun, right? But I know that if he chases the wrong things, he could get in big trouble. I could get in big trouble. You know, it will just be bad. And I also know that if I let him chase whatever he wants, whenever he wants, he won't meet his full potential to chase what he's supposed to be chasing when he's supposed to be chasing it, right? Because his attention is going to be so distracted on everything else that he can't focus on the true goal. Does that make sense? So, it's the same with us and God's law. It's shown us what's right, and it's shown us what's wrong, and it's for our own good. As our relationship with God grows, we're confronted with the same dilemma that Rusty is. We have these things that we want to do, and we think they're going to be awesome, and it's going to be so cool. And God's law is saying, don't do that. The Holy Spirit is in us, convicting us, saying, I don't know if that's really what you want to be doing, right? Is that God honoring? So we have these things pulling us back and forth. And so let's look back at the last phrase we read in 1 Peter. And it says, be holy in all you do. And then it goes on and says, be holy because I am holy. Holy is dedicated or consecrated to God. And before that, it was talking about not conforming to your evil desires. And conform is behave according to socially acceptable standards. And so we can sum this First Peter, these verses up in this phrase. As obedient children, don't behave according to socially acceptable standards. Be dedicated to God in all you do. That's what it's saying. And that's the challenge put before us, is overcoming our sinful nature in order to be able to be obedient to God. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1. My whole goal for this morning is not to say Noah when I mean Jonah, because it seems like that always happens. So Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry lands." This terrified him, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. An innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. I could have just gave you the Cliff Notes version of it, but I just really love reading that. I just think it's so entertaining to see someone interact with God and then be like, "Nope, not doing that," and head out. And then just be so calm, because he knows he serves an all-powerful God, and is like, well, boys, if you don't all want to die, you better pitch me in. You know, like, that's all there is to it. But we see a clear opportunity for Jonah to be obedient to God, and he picks his own thoughts and desires over what God made clear to him is his desire for Jonah in his life. And I just got to thinking, I was like, man, how frustrating must it be for God to give clear direction to his children and have them just shrug their shoulders and just go do whatever in the world it is they want to do. I mean, just it's just got to be infuriating. And honestly, I think that's why God gave us hounds, is so that we can experience some of this frustration. When I told some of my friends that they're going to get hounds, especially experienced houndsmen, they just laugh, and they're like, "Yeah, I can't wait to hear all about it. It's going to be awesome." You know, the only thing better than owning a hound is knowing somebody that owns a hound, so you can just hear all about it. They are so maddening sometimes, but they're also, they're just so cool. I don't think any other type of dog brings out the passion in people for good and bad as hounds do. So, you know, we've owned lots of dogs, Jen and I, and this never happened. But, you know, Rusty's just so darn cute that how could you not let him sleep in the bed and do whatever he wants when he wants because he's so cool. But as they get older, and by the way, he doesn't sleep in the house anymore. He ruined that for himself. But like I said, people are so invested in their hounds. They just love them. They're passionate about them. But I also don't think that there's been any other dog that has been threatened to be shot by its owner more than a hound. I think probably more hounds in the world have been threatened to be shot or shot by their owner in a fit of rage than any other type of dog ever. Because what makes them awesome also makes them super irritating. And so God loves us more than we can ever understand. It's a passionate love. But also, only humans are capable of awakening his righteous anger. Like nothing else in this world awakens God's righteous anger. Humans do. We have a knack for it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 8. I'm always so entertained that, you know, that our recorded history starts in chapter 1. And now by chapter 6, let's read this. Verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I'll wipe them from the face of the earth, the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So here, by chapter 6, God's over it. He's like, I am done. Get rid of them. Thankfully, Noah was there to grab the heart of God, so to speak, and to show the value that God knew humans had. And you know the rest of the story. But how do we get to this point? And it's disobedience. And it's disobedience on so many different levels and in so many different ways that it's just amazing. And we don't seem to realize that when we let unrepentant sin start in our lives, it just continues to drag us away from God, and it creates all sorts of havoc in our lives, and it destroys the relationship with God. And we see that in Genesis. Like I said, in this, you see that Rusty has a GPS collar on there. And old houndsmen say that this little device has transformed how you train a hound. Because when you let a hound go, he's going to be gone till he's dead, hungry, or you catch him. That's it. And so before GPS collars, once you turned them loose, whatever was going to happen was going to happen. And so, like, if you put them on a lion track and they decided that there was a deer that was funner to chase, they might chase it all day long. And just to give you an example, I turned Rusty loose to look for a cat, and he found a deer. And he chased it for over 3.5 miles over three mountains. And it took about a 45-minute walk to get within range so I could talk to him over the GPS collar, and I'll get to that later. But it got so out of hand, so fast, it was ridiculous. And every houndsman has a story of chasing their dogs literally all day long, sometimes all night, and sometimes they leave them out there while they just go do whatever they want to do. But they, so these GPS tracker trainer collars, they're pretty cool. So they have a GPS in them so you can see wherever your dog is on the map. They can't hide from you. They have an audible beep that the dog can hear, so you can push a button, and as long as you have communication, the dog can hear the beep. Now, this is important, so when Rusty was a puppy, I would hit the beep, and I'd tell him, find it, and he'd get the hot dog. So now whenever he hears the beep, he's like, oh, dude, if I can just find the boss, I'm going to get a hot dog, and here he comes, right? And that's very important. And then the other thing it does is it does deliver a shock if they're totally misbehaving and you want to stop that behavior. But you can't just like shock them all the time, or pretty soon you'll have a dog that just doesn't move. Anytime you put the collar on, he'll just lay down on the ground and be like, I'm not moving because I don't know what caused it to shock me, but I don't want to move. So these are all things that happen with this trainer collar, but it's very valuable because you can also, when the dog's doing something wrong, you can beep him, and he'll think, oh, you know what? I could go back to the boss and get a hot dog and get petted and my ears scratched. That'd be cool. And then if he keeps going, you give him a little shock. He's like, and then in his brain, eventually he's like, or I could keep doing what I'm doing, and I know pretty soon I'm going to get shocked, you know, and it's about as pleasant as you can imagine. It's not pleasant for the dog. They don't like it, and they learn really fast that they don't want to do things that get them shocked. And so you got to be careful, because deep down inside, when a hound's chasing a deer or chasing the neighbor's sheep, maybe, I'm just saying, it's possible, or doing something like that, they're not necessarily, you got to make sure that they did know better, because if you just punish them all the time, pretty soon, if they don't understand what they're supposed to be doing, then they just will do nothing because they're scared of the consequence. You have to make sure that they know what they're doing is wrong, and that they have the option to go do something right. So when Rusty gets himself in trouble, we always try to find a positive in it. Like when he comes back and his feelings are all hurt because he got zapped or whatever, you try to give him a treat and tell him it's going to be okay and get back in the fight and all that stuff. Or you'll find something that he knows he can run and you go let him run it and you encourage him. And so it's all about this encouragement, right? And so, and you're like, well, what does this have to do with us? You know, it's a pretty educational hound, instructional conversation. This is the point, all right? We actually have a GPS tracker trainer attached to us as well. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 28. Well, I'm losing stuff. All right, Ezekiel chapter 26, or chapter 36, verses 26 through 28. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. And this is just the one example that I picked out of many where the Bible discusses the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And it operates just like a GPS tracker trainer collar. God absolutely knows where we are at all times and what we're doing. When we're at church, God's aware of our attendance. When we're worshiping Him, He's aware of our attendance. When we are seeped in sin, sneaking around, hoping that no one else from the congregation sees our truck or a car or whatever else is going on, God still knows where you are. And the Holy Spirit can prick your heart to understand what's right and wrong. But it also takes reading God's word. So with Rusty, it's my responsibility. I got to teach him what he's allowed to do and what he's not to do, right? And God realized that in his perfection as our Father, He understood that we needed to know what right and wrong was. So He gave us the Bible. He gave us the law. He made us understand what right and wrong is. He made us understand that we're incapable of always doing right, and so He gave Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be restored in this relationship, right? He forgives us. Just like when Rusty goes and does something dumb, after I'm done threatening to shoot him, I pet him, I tell him that he did a good job, I put him in the box, I think about the choices I've made in my life, and I think we'll try it again next week. But I still care about him, right? And the relationship is so similar. God loves us all the time, and although our sin brings righteous anger out of God, he never stops loving us, and he has given us a path to being restored to him. But we have to choose that obedience. If we just choose to live in willful sin, the Bible also says that God turns his face away from the prayers and requests of the sinful. And so we're going to be closing up here shortly. And you're like, well, we're kind of in the middle of the story. Like, we don't know if Rusty ever turned into anything useful or not. And honestly, I don't know either. No, I'm just joking. Sometimes I wonder. But we're gonna continue on next week. So in that picture, I think Rusty was 6 months old, maybe 7 months old. And it's been so interesting to watch him to develop. And it's made me think so much about how I interact with God. And like I said in Sunday school, I think emotion with information lasts longer than just information. And so, you know, by showing you cute little dog pictures, I hope you think about that. And I hope when you look at a cute little puppy, every time you look at a cute little puppy, I want you to think, where am I at with God? Am I being obedient? Am I seeking out his will? Or am I just living for myself? God desires our obedience, and he gave us his son Jesus to cover the failures. It's important to know. He wants us to be invested in his will for our lives. You know, just like with Rusty, it drives me insane when he's just doing whatever he wants to do. I mean, just like unspeakably drives me insane. And it just makes me think about like my own life. You know, I know God desires me to read his word so that I understand him more fully, and that I can implement his principles and desires in my life so that I can live a Christ-like life. And I feel convicted when I think about, like, you know, like, I care about the dog so much, but I'm just like, God, get him! And I think, man, how many times has God had that same experience with me? And yet, like, sometimes my anger is just flat anger. It's not righteous anger. I'm just mad. And so I don't discipline as appropriate as I should or whatever. But God is perfect. God's perfect disciplinarian. He is perfect in how he loves us. He's perfect in how he guides us. And so I just want to encourage you this week to think about the gift of forgiveness, the duty of obedience, and the awesome opportunity that awaits you if you live a life guided by God and his principles. It really is the ultimate fulfillment of the human experience. And the world would tell you otherwise. And that's the two competing messages. But as you'll see in the second half, hounds that can learn to submit their will to their owners get a special status in a dog's life that no other dogs experience. But hounds that never submit their will to the obedience of their master and continue to do their own thing have the most horrible outcomes of any dog ever. And so the correlation is just pretty interesting to me, and I wanted to share it with you. And I hope you're slightly entertained, and I'll have some more comparisons next week. But like I said, I want to emphasize the awesome opportunity that we all have in this relationship with God through obedience. Read his word, pray, Seek to find out what his desire for your life is, and you will discover awesome things that would otherwise never be revealed to you. And I'll just give you a short little example. Bad hounds sit in kennels because you can't trust them to do anything else. Their whole lives, that's what they do. They sit in a kennel. Good hounds that can be trusted not to chase anything have freedom. Freedom to do lots of awesome things. And like the first trip Rusty took, he went all the way across the state, 600 and some miles, to go hunting. And the equivalent is there for us. When we obey God, he opens up awesome wonders in our lives. And there's hardships, no doubt. It's not just a free, wonderful ride of just fun, nonstop fun. There's hardships, there's difficulties. But the reward that you feel is incomparable to anything else because God created us to be in a relationship with him. So that's my encouragement, and we'll discuss this more next week. Do we have a closing song? All right, let's close the song.